ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। बाबा स्मृति इज अबाउट द सन ऑफ नॉलेज, द मून ऑफ नॉलेज एंड द स्टार्स ऑफ नॉलेज एंड द वैरायटी ऑफ स्टार्स। And Baba has described each star in a very specific way, but generally said that all the stars have taken so much from the sun, but are also now sharing with others, and it's number wise. And so Baba's Murali is very sweet and very profound, and yet Baba's Murali is very, very straight and clear. Baba's not shy of telling us the truth, and if you read or when you listen all the different types of stars, then you can see where it is you fit in. But I won't expand further on the Murali today because there's a few things happening. But I want to take up something that came up yesterday, and we had a UK teachers meeting. And it was a retreat more than a meeting. But one of the questions that came up after discussion was, could I describe the different steps for becoming an angel in a few words? And the other questions were also very interesting, and I took them up very, very briefly. But this one in particular I want to take up now, because Dadi Janki was a master. She was the master ocean and able to share a huge amount on any topic under the sun. But also Dadi had this ability of coming to the essence and being able to share in a few words big subjects. And so I remembered a class that Dadi had taken in which he'd said that first step is to be a student, second step is to be a Raj Yogi, and third step is to be the angel. And there were many students, there were many teachers who actually have been with Baba for 40 years, 30 plus years, so I didn't get into any detail. Just those three words. But I'd like to share some of the detail of this now. And so the first step, becoming a student. You can see how if I have that awareness of being a student, then I have to let go of the consciousness of this. Because we have somebody 86 years old, and she comes every morning to class. She's sitting right here. And she's a student. She usually carries her notebook. Today I don't see her notebook, but normally she carries her notebook and pen. And so how can somebody of that age be a student? Only when they drop the awareness of this and just simply remember that Baba is my father and teacher. But Baba, being my teacher, I have to be a student. And it's not just a factor of age, it's a factor of position. Someone who's in the world out there, a teacher, will say that I'm a teacher. And here's Baba saying, well, be a student again. And so whether it's my physical age, whether it's my position in life, whether it's my role and responsibility, when I become Baba's child, I also become a student. And so I'm seeing many people with their notebooks here. And letting go of the consciousness of age is fairly simple, in the sense that when you become Baba's child anyway, your face very rarely shows your age. Many of the young sisters who came to Baba when they were in their 20s are now in their 50s. And they still look as if they're 25, 30 years old. They don't look 50 years or 60 years or whatever. So letting go of that is not so difficult. But I'm a grihasthi, I'm a householder. Now, that's a big one. Yes, I have to fulfill my responsibilities at home. I have to do everything I need to for my household. But yet, I'll be able to manage all of that much, much better if I'm Baba's student. Because the things that Baba's teaching me every day change my perspective. And I don't complain. I don't get bored. I don't say, well, why isn't anybody helping me? I do what I need to do. And yes, with love, and everybody cooperates. And so changing from being a householder to becoming a student is a big step. But also, whatever role I play in the world out there, or even whatever role I play in Baba's work, position is not a factor, title is not a factor. Whatever it is I do, can I first and foremost be a student so that I can genuinely keep learning. The Dadis were an amazing example of this. I remember Brahma Baba using that same expression, I'm learning something new all the time. And I used to wear contact lenses at that time, and I must have been 16 years old. This would have been in the 60s. And Didi Manmoini, had seen me sometimes with glasses, sometimes without glasses. And so she asked me, how come you manage without glasses? And so I showed her my lenses. And it was a very new thing in that time, in the early 60s. And she said, you must show Baba. I was so embarrassed. I said, how can I show Baba? She said, Baba will be very curious. You must show Baba. So she took me into Baba's room at a time when it was pretty quiet. Anyway, it was quiet. It was monsoons. And she made me demonstrate to Baba how I put them in and how I take them off. And Baba's watching and saying, something new for me to learn. Har roz nayi baat dekhne ko milti, seekhne ko milti. So that's a very lucky thing. But Dadi Janki, right until the very end, she would study. She never read Lokik newspapers. She never read any books from outside. But she would really study the Gyanamrit, the Nectar of Knowledge magazine, the World Renewal. And she would tell us some of the stories that came in these. And I don't know how many people read World Renewal here. Anyone? One, two, three, four, as you see. And I understand, because on one level, if you're reading Baba's Murali every day and you just catch a glimpse of the news, there's so much to do through the whole day. To sit and read World Renewal and Gyanamrit, not many people have that time. But Dadi would make time. And she would also keep a book by her bedside. And she would be reading some of that book every single day. So just this consciousness of being a student and learning and letting go of whatever is the hat, the title, and so on and so on. And not only does it keep the intellect fresh and engaged, but it also is a very powerful mirror for my behavior through the day. And the second step, being a yogi, a Raj yogi. Many would say that we are Brahma Kumaris, Brahma Kumaris, but not many would actually say, I am a Raj yogi. And if truly I am a Raj yogi, then two things that demonstrate this very, very clearly. First step, Raj yogi the ruler of the physical senses, the master of the physical senses. And in that case, there was a word that Daddy used with that, which was Sukhakari, the one who's always giving happiness through each one of the senses. What are my eyes doing? Are they radiating God's light and God's love? Or are they throwing daggers? You don't have to say anything, but the eyes can definitely share things without speaking. Good things and not such good things. We've experienced both, I'm sure. And so can I definitely say that yes, as a Raj Yogi, my eyes see beauty and truth. My ears only listen to truth and not gossip and slander and criticism and all of this. And then my mouth. What is my mouth doing? Is it sharing words of empowerment, words of upliftment, words of encouragement, or is it something else? And so this whole aspect of each and every organ actually being sukhakari, being able to give happiness to all through each one of my physical senses, but also through my behavior generally. Is it giving happiness to all? So one big step of Raj Yogi, the conquest of the physical senses and being able to be sukhakari. And then the next aspect of the Raj Yogi, conquest of physical organs actually is secondary. It's visible first, but the first step is actually the conquest of the mind. And in Hatha Yoga, you try and conquer the physical body. And you try through that to discipline the mind. And I know for a fact it does not work. Hatha Yogis may be brilliant, but discipline of the mind, conquest of the mind is a very different story. And so the real conquest of a Raj Yogi is the conquest of the inner faculties, the faculties of the mind. And then he used another word, and that's conquest. So the senses and sukhakari, and then kalyankari. Always, always concerned about giving benefit. And so, am I able to see each step of the drama as being benevolent, beneficial? It's a training I have to give myself. Most people are not born with it, at least not at the end of Kali Yuga. In Satyuga, everybody is born naturally with that purity. But at the end of the cycle in Kali Yuga, no, it's a training that Baba gives us through the Murali, but also has demonstrated to us through the Dadis, but also it's a training I must give myself. When I can see everything as kalyankari, you recognize the word, don't you? It's the word used for God, Shiva. And the translation of Shiva is the one who's the benefactor, the one who's kalyankari. So, am I able to interpret whatever it is that goes on as being benevolent, as being benefit for myself? And it's a training. It doesn't happen overnight. And many challenges come along the way. And there's a question, but how can this be benevolent? How can this be of benefit? But the training to the self, the reminder to the self again and again. How is it beneficial? What is the benefit in this? And so if I keep reminding myself to see benefit, then it becomes easier and easier and more natural. And so when I learn to see benefit for myself first, then I can start giving benefit to others. Without being able to take benefit myself, if there's still bugs inside that are saying, no, this isn't right, this shouldn't be like this, it should be like this, I'm not taking benefit. And of course, what I share with others will be of the same ilk. It won't be any different. And so one of the things that Baba's been talking about a lot is good wishes, good wishes, good wishes, good wishes for all, good wishes for all. And that only happens when I first see benefit for myself. Then I can say, yes, I can give benefit to others by having good wishes for all. And so you can see that these steps, and by the time really we come to that stage where there's nothing, nothing but good wishes for all, then yes, we can say that we can give God's light, God's love to all. We're able to experience that light with us all, the self. We're able to share that light. Think about the images of angels. So I think there are angels up there, all our ancestor souls, and we're going to be offering bhog for all our ancestor souls. The beautiful thing about Shraddha is that it's not exclusively for one or two or three, but it's for all the ancestors. And those ancestor souls, some of them are the angels up above, but also angels on earth. Count how often has God worked through a human being to do something for you. God works in wonderful ways, and the most wonderful way is to see how God works through human beings. And so many, many different angels come to our support, come to our aid when we are in a moment of darkness or distress. And so let me acknowledge those angels also. But also, if I'm sukhakari, giving happiness, kalyankari, giving benefit, then that's the role of the angel. Just simply sharing God's light, sharing God's qualities. And internally, we don't perform levitation here. I've never seen a flying yogi physically, but definitely I've seen very powerful souls who, no matter what the situation comes in front of them, they're able to fly and be up above. And so it is possible to think about reaching the stage of an angel in three steps, but also not just to think about it, versus to think about it, but also to actually practice it and be it. So there were lots of other questions that were very interesting that I'll take up another time, and I'll just leave it with you for the moment and you can think about it further yourselves. But Baba used the word sukshma karubar, subtle administration. Very interesting question. What is that? So I leave that with you for your own churning and homework. Because today we've got another very interesting program. I think everybody knows that COP26 is happening in Glasgow. And what is new is that we now know that it's going to happen in person. Until 4 days ago, the government hadn't announced that. But now we've got the documents to say that we're expected to be in Glasgow for that event. And I think I must have taken up the subject of consciousness and environment in the class at least, how many times? 15 times? Probably more. Because every year after COP, I'd come back and share something. But also we had an amazing program with Christiana Figueres, who was the architect of the Paris Agreement, and she spoke here about consciousness and environment, actually. So We've had lots of classes about this subject, but today, I'm not even sure who, but a couple of people from the environment team, the ECHO team, are going to be conducting this, and it's interactive. It's not a lecture, it's not a class or a presentation, but it's a chance to actually interact together on the subject of the environment. And please don't run away when you hear this word interact, because that sometimes happens. Some people quietly leave when they hear that it's going to be interactive. You just have to carry on sitting here. We won't ask you to go into workshops or groups, but it's going to be very interesting and a time for reflection for you, literally a chance to reflect on what is your relationship with the environment. And yes, we're going to be offering bhog for ancestors. I see a big family group that's come to honor Jayanti Bhai. And Jayanti Bhai Chitroda was our auditor for many years, and never mind that title, but he was a wonderful soul, and that soul is still around playing another part. But also he was a wonderful BK, very accurate, very caring, very supportive. So many souls will be remembered, but I want to recognize the family that's come. But also I want to say that our brother Morris is in hospital with pneumonia. And so I think if we share Baba's love and light with that soul, I think most of you know Morris. He's been in Baba's home for many years helping. And so we send our love and light to Morris also. After the interaction, I probably won't take the mic again. And I'm sharing all this now, but hold it in your mind when we offer bhog. Om Shanti.